Everybody have one? There we go. All right. Welcome back, everyone.
Thank you.
Hope everyone had a nice Pesach. We're going to be talking one last week about the sixth ikar, about the principle of prophecy. I just wanted to discuss something which I think is somewhat fundamental to the role that the concept of prophecy plays in Jewish thought, and it really comes from the structure of where this principle fits into the Rambam's formation of how he presents the Ikrim. And so we've seen before, but just to start again with, I have on the first page here, I photocopied the Ani Mamin, not because that's the best way to present the Ikrim individually, but it's the best way to just visualize the structure of all of them at once. They all fit nicely on one page here. You can see, so the first five fit into one group, the group of the existence of God. So that's, I cut off the first few there because that's on the page before, in the Siddur that I photocopied it from. But then you have, I put these nice little brackets here for the next two groups of four. So the next group is the group that really is the build-up towards, or the structure of the existence of Torah, so which consists of the 6th, 7th, 8th, and 9th Ikrim, the 6th being prophecy, the 7th being the prophecy, the unique prophecy of Moshe Rabbeinu, the 8th being that the authenticity of the Torah, and the 9th being that the Torah will not be replaced, will not change. That's one group. This is the group about the Torah, God's communication with the Jewish people. And the next group is the 10, 11, 12, and 13 is really the group of what we might describe as Schar V'Onesh or Hashgacha, or God's interaction with mankind, which it consists of the fact of God's Hashgacha, number 10, the fact that God pays attention to what's going on in the world, number 11, God rewards and punishes for good deeds and bad deeds, number 12, that there is going to be a Mashiach, a Messiah, a Savior who is going to come to redeem the Jewish people, and number 13, that there's going to be Trias HaMesim, that there's going to be a revival of the dead, resuscitation of the resurrection, the resurrection of the dead. All right, so that's the structure of really the reward and punishment, or the God paying attention to what's going on and reacting to what's going on in the world. So in this list that we have over here, the Rambam puts Nevuah into the groups them with the group that has to do with the existence of the Torah. That's where the Rambam puts Nevuah in this list. However, there's another place where the Rambam goes through almost an identical list of the Ikrim, which is in Hilchos Tshuva. If you turn the page, the next page, in Hilchos Tshuva, the Rambam has, in the negative, the Rambam is defining three different types of what we'll just translate as heretics. I mean, just to catch you up really quickly, we just pointed out that the Rambam in the Ikrim, he groups the prophecy as part of the structure of the existence of Torah. Right? And you have the existence of Torah, and you have, you know, God's interaction with the world, reward and punishment, and that kind of thing in the second group. Right? However, Tshuva, so the Rambam is defining, there's three different terms, there's a min, there's an apikoris, and there's a kofar, three different types of heretics, and the Rambam goes through defining what each of them is. So the Rambam in Halacha Zion here, at the bottom of the page, the Rambam says there are five that are called, just starting from the beginning, just to show that this is a complete list of the Ikrim, just like we have. in the introduction to Parak Chelek here, the same list here. So he has the five who are called Minim. He says Omer She'ein Sham Eloka, someone who says that there is no God, Ve'ein Lo Olam Manhig, there's no one guiding the world. Va'omer She'yesh Sham Manhig Aval Heim Shnaimu. Yes, there's someone who says there is a God, but there's two. But there is someone leading the world, but there's really two or more. Ha'omer She'yesh Ribon Echad Elishu Guf Ubal Tmuna, someone who says, of course, there is a God, but he has a physical form. V'chein Omer She'eino Levado Rishon V'tzur Lakol, anybody who says that he is not the only first, that he is not the one who the only original existence. V'chein Oved Eloha Zulaso K'dei Lios Melitz Beinu Bein Ribon Olam, and someone who serves another god other than someone who accepts all those things, but that also serves some other power as an intermediary between him and God. All of those are called a min. So that is very nicely the list of the first five ikrim, as we saw them in this group here. That's the first five on our list as well. Now we get into the next list. Shlosha hein hanikraim apikorsim. There are three who are called an apikoris. Ha'omer she'ein sham nevua klal ve'ein sham mada shamagiyat mebara lev b'nei adam. Someone who says that there is such thing as nevua. The Amakrish Nuhu also shall Moshe Rabbeinu, and someone who denies the prophecy of Moshe. Va Omer She'ein Habore Yodea Ma'ase B'nei Adam, and someone who says that God does not know the actions of mankind. God does not know what's going on in the world. And then the last part of the list, Shlosha Heina Kofrim B'Torah. There are three who are called Kofrim. Ha Omer She'ein Torah Me'im Hashem, Afil Pasuk Echad, Afil Teva Achas. Fine, between a kofer b'peirusha v'yator shabal peh va'omer shabore hechlif mitzvah zu v'mitzvah acheres, right? Somebody who denies that the Torah is from God, or someone who says that the Torah was or will be switched for a different Torah, and this Torah that we have is really null, it's really obsolete, right? Like he says k'gona notrim v'hagarim, like the Christians or the Muslims. Kol echad mishlosha elu kofer haTorah. That's the
Muslim?
What?
Hagarim or Muslim?
I think that's what he means. That's the descendants of Hagar.
Oh.
I believe so. I don't know that for sure, but in any case, it says kol echad mishlosha elu kofer. That's the kofrim. So you look in that last category. That included someone who denies the Torah or says that Moshe made some of it up on its own, or says that the Torah was switched, that the Torah could be was replaced with a new set of rules. So that there is the list. That final group is the list of the structure of the existence of Torah. So if you look back on our first page, we had that Nevuah was part of the structure, was grouped with those Ikrim, which form the structure of Torah. And there was a separate listing, which was the structure of Hashem's Hashgacha, of that which Hashem is involved, is interacting with the world and paying attention to what goes on in the world. However, over here in Hilchos Tshuva, it's a very different grouping. The Rambam over here groups prophecy in the group of those Ikrim, in the group of those principles, which are, with, it groups it with that Habora Yodea Ma'ase B'nei Adam, that God knows the actions of man, that God sees what's going on in the world. Prophecy is grouped here as part of the list, along with that which God knows what's going on in the world. It seems to be part of the group of Hashgacha, of God's involvement in the world. And then there's a second part of that list, which is had a separate name. They're called the Kofrim, right? As opposed to that, and that's the people who, that, and that's the group that has to do with the structure of the Torah, with the nature of belief in the Torah itself. So in the Ikrim, in the introduction to Parak Chelek, we have one structure, one group. They're the same list. Now, when I say the same list, I should point out that this is something that hopefully we'll get to eventually. Not going to talk about this today, but that there is something missing from this list in Hilchos Tshuva, which is Yemos HaMashiach and Tchias HaMesim, which might be We'll talk about that eventually, but that is something which is somewhat missing from this list. But this is other than that is a complete reconstruction of the list that we have in the beginning of Parak Chelek. However, there's some mixing up of the order here. The Rambam in the beginning, in the introduction to Parak Chelek, puts Nevuah, puts prophecy as part of the list of the existence of Torah. It puts it, it groups it as part of the build-up towards Torah min Hashamayim, and that the Torah is permanent, is eternal, and will not be switched, will not be nullified. And over here in Hilchos Tshuva, he puts it with the list of, he groups it together with Hashem's Hashgacha, with what is going on in the world. That's point number one, is to understand is that switch in the order here, that there seems to be two different lists, that Nevuah occupies two different spots on the list of these fundamental principles. The other point that I want to point out at the same time is that we went at great lengths, and I pointed this out in contrast to that which it says in the Ani Mamin. In the Ani Mamin summary seems to be a little bit off target on this point. We went at great length to show and explain the idea of the Iker as we have it in the introduction to Parak Chelek is, as opposed to what the Ani Mamin says, which is that all the words of the Nevi'im are true. The Rambam in the introduction to Chelek, in his own formulation of that principle, says no such thing. The Rambam, we're going to assume that all the words of the prophets, at least that which we have canonized, that they are true, we'll accept that. But that's not the Rambam's point in the Ikrim. The Rambam's point is Shahakel Menabe Levnei Adam, that God prophesies to mankind. Right? If you look what the Rambam says over here in Hilchos Tshuva, that little line that I have underlined there in the middle of Halacha Ches, very important. The Rambam does not say that. The Rambam says, Shloshin and Ikrim Abikarsim Ha'omer She'ein Shem Nevuah Klal, Ve'ein Shem Mada Shemagia Me'abora L'Lev B'nei Adam. There is no knowledge which comes to man from God. Here, the Rambam, when he describes what this Iker of Nevuah is, what's this fundamental point of prophecy, is information that comes from God to man. There's no information that man gets from God. And that's how the Rambam phrases...
What's the last thing you said?
What?
Many people who deny it?
There's an apikoros is someone who denies that there is not from God to man. Right? That's what the Rambam said. However, if we look back at the Rambam's formulation in the Ikrim, we look at the words of the Rambam himself, right? The Rambam said, Yesod Hashishi Nevuah, V'huladat Shazeh HaMin HaEnoshi, Yesh Yimtzu Uvo, in the bottom of the first column on the next page. We saw this already, but just going back to this, V'huladat Shazeh HaMin HaEnoshi, Yesh Yimtzu Uvo, Ishim Bali Kishronos Mifutachim Me'od V'shleimus Gedola, that there exist people who have achieved a level of a significant level of personal perfection, vitiskonum nafshum achimekabelas tsuras asechel, and their soul or their spirit is prepared, reached a point where they can accept the form of what? Tiskonin, with a kuf. Tikkun means like a reparation, or but the tiskonin, like we say that the Mishkan will be what do you say in Melech Rachaman? Right, was the Samchinu Basikuno that we should be happy with the, when the Mishkan is reestablished, is set up on its place. But to the that there's people who have reached this point where they can accept the Tzuras HaSeichel, the Ye'etzal Aleihem Yimenu Atzilos Shefa, they get this divine outpouring, this flow of spiritual energy from God. And we saw when we did this as its own, when we focused on that point, that the Rambam in Halacha Zayin, in Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah and Perek Zayin, in Halacha Aleph there, explains how the Navi would get a bulk. He would experience his experience of becoming a different person, and the whole focus of this, and we saw, we went through in the Ramchal, how the Ramchal described what happened to a Navi, was that the Navi reaches this level of dveikus to God. What really happens is it's this, he achieves this level where he's able to reach a certain degree of closeness to God, and that's really what the Iker is. The Iker is the fact that a person can have that level where they've come to a closeness to God, which the Ramchal said side point of that is an outcome, an outgrowth of that, a side effect of that is that he might come to, that he'll come to know things, that there will be, now he's, you know, the, because he's connected to the source of, the ultimate source of all knowledge and all existence, so it'll be revealed to him certain things. But that was, the Ramchal emphasized, was very much a side point of what the essence of Nevuah is. The nature of Nevuah is the connection to God, and a side effect of that, a side benefit, is that information. And that's the Iker, as the Rambam describes it in the introduction to Sanhedrin. So we really have two aspects here of what's going on in the introduction to the Ikrim. Oh, hey, look, I forgot that I put this on the page. We have actually that, which I was just quoting here. On the next page, the Halach, Perek Zayin of Hilchos Teshuva, at the very end, right, the first line, he says it the same way that he says it in the Ikrim, underlined at the top of the page. Miyesodei Adas Leida Shakel Menave Es Bnei Adam. It's one of the Yesodos, is to know that God prophesies to man. And he explains the level, the spiritual attainment of the person, and the end of the of Halacha Aleph here. Uba'es shatinuach alav haruach tis'arev nafsho b'malas ha-malachim hanikraim ishim. That the point at which this divine energy rests upon him, spirit reaches a level, the level of angels, which are called Ishim, of that level of angel, which is referred to as Ishim, vayehafich l'ish acher, and he becomes a different person, vayavin b'daito she'enu kamo shahaya, and he recognizes about himself that he's not the same as he used to be, she'elashinis ala al ma'ala shar b'nei adam ha'chamim, that he has reached a level where he has grown above, he has risen above the level of normal man, and he's an entirely different person. Kemosh Nemar v'shal v'hisnavisa imam v'nefeches li'ish acher, that Shmuel tells Shaul that he's going to meet a group of Nevi'im and he's going to prophesy with them, v'yisa v'nefechta li'ish acher, and become a different person. Right, that is the nature of what it means to be a prophet, was the experience of becoming a different person, of reaching that level of closeness with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, of feeling a tangible ruach that comes upon the person, where he feels that spiritual growth and that closeness to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So we have in Yesodei HaTorah and in the introduction to Chelek, we have the Rambam describing this idea of Nevuah, as the closeness that a person gets, that he can come into, you know, communion with Hashem, as opposed to what we have in Hilchos Tshuva, in Perek Gimel of Hilchos Tshuva, where the Rambam describes that a person who's denying Nevuah means he's denying that information, that knowledge comes from God to man.
Why can't this exist today?
Why can't which exist today?
It makes it sound as if, maybe I'm reading, that a person, if he reaches a certain level, he can get to Nevuah. That it's not as if Hashem decided who's going to have Nevuah. That a person gets close enough to Torah, he learns everything, whatever, he can, he'll hit that point. He'll hit that much.
He's gone over down. It. No, he said, Rambam said that a person can reach the level, but God comes to him, not... God calls him, he doesn't call God.
Right. So actually,
why is it shame?
Except Moshe.
I mean, why is it stopped? Like, what made it stop that there is no more Nevuah?
So that's, so
I have a similar question.
Well, hold on a second.
We're already on that.
Okay, go ahead. Let's see. Maybe we'll answer both at once.
That the Rambam is speaking in the present tense. There is nevuah, not there was nevuah. Maybe it's just the language, semantics. But it goes to what he's saying.
Right. So the tense, I think the Rambam is more speaking in a passive tense than in an active sense. The fact that there exists such a thing as nevuah. So, but I'm not sure if the Rambam, I can't say with certainty if the Rambam would tell you that there is any qualitative reason why today there's nevuah. I don't know that the Rambam would tell you that today nevuah is impossible. I think that the Rambam there's a certain place in his language where he says that, let me see if we can find it over here. One second. I can't find it here, but the Rambam, I don't believe, explicitly says anywhere that nevuah is by definition impossible. The Rambam does accept that there is such a thing as Yiridas Adoros, and there is such a thing as the descent of the generations, and achieving nevuah, that's the first halacha here. He goes through, we saw this at one point, but an incredible description of the madrega, the level that a person reaches to achieve nevuah. So he said that the person, the start was that this is, you know, all of the good midos are really in Shemona Prakim, says most of the positive character traits, and that then he goes from there. He says he goes into the Torah knowledge, and he distances himself from everything that's not pure, and he continues to sanctify himself, and then that's like the starting point. And from that point, the person could come to the Madrega. So there's a very lofty level that we're talking about for a person to achieve nevuah.
But if you believe that nevuah cannot happen today, are you being over the law of not believing in nevuah?
If you believe that nevuah could not happen, by definition, could not happen today.
Yeah.
So I don't... I guess it depends on how you would say it. If you would say that God cannot talk to people today, then that might be a problem. Even that, I'm not sure. I'll explain why in a minute. But if you say that people cannot achieve nevuah today, so I don't know if that would be such a problem, because they're not saying that there's any impossibility in there's nothing broken in the system. It's just that we have descended to such a level where we can no longer reach that. But even that, even the first way, I'm not sure. Well, we wouldn't say anything is impossible for God anyways, but if we said that by definition there is no such thing as prophecy today, I don't know if that would be in violation of this. I don't know if it would be true or not, but I don't think it would be in violation of this ikkar, because the main point of the existence of acknowledging the existence of prophecy is really part of the build-up to the Shalshalas HaTorah, is to the existence of Torah, that the existence of the Nevi'im that we have, and the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu. Once you acknowledge that that Nevuah was real, and that God really has had that contact with mankind, that it's possible for God to have that contact with mankind, I don't know if saying that, you know, history, whether it be from our side or from just the way the world went or whatever it is, went too far off that it can no longer happen, I don't know if that would be a violation of the principle of nevuah. Whether or not it would be true, I don't think it would be necessarily that which would make someone a heretic for believing such a thing. But in any case, so that's the we have these two aspects here of nevuah. We have on the one hand that the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva describes nevuah as being the knowledge, the information that comes from God to man, and in Yesodei HaTorah and in the introduction to Chelek, he describes it as the connection that man can have to God. And in And that's so that's one thing that we have, these two aspects. And at the same time, we also pointed out the difference in these two lists. That in the list in Hilchos Tshuva, the Rambam puts Nevuah, puts prophecy, together with Hashgacha, with that which God knows the actions of man. And in the Ikrim, in the introduction to Chelek, the Rambam puts Nevuah as the precursor to Nevuas Moshe Rabbeinu and to Torah Min HaShemayim and the Bittul, that the Torah will not be switched, will not be nullified. So the Rambam puts the Nevuah in two different places on the lists in his construction of the Ikrim. So I think that these two points go together, that the difference in the way the Rambam describes Nevuah and the difference in where the Rambam puts Nevuah in its role, in its position, in the formation of the principles, really speak to two aspects of what Nevuah indicates about God's relationship with the world. If you look in the Hakdama to the next page, I have a piece from the Hakdama, the introduction to Seder Zrayim, to the Mishnah. I guess it's Seder Zrayim, but the Rambam's introduction to Mishnayos. So the Rambam here is describing in very general terms the idea of prophecy and of identifying, and you know, how we know about prophets and identifying who true prophets were, and gets a little bit into the role of prophecy. And the Rambam here says, in the middle of describing who the real prophets were, the Rambam has this paragraph here: "V'lo haya etzlam davar shelo hayu sholim alav esanavim." The time when there was prophecy among the Jewish people, there was nothing which the people would not ask a prophet about. They would ask everything to the prophet. If not for the fact that they used to ask the prophet about whatever was going on in their life, Shaul would not have approached Shmuel to ask him about the items that he lost. What he's referring to is towards the beginning of Sefer Shmuel, when the story where Shaul was anointed as king. What happened was Shaul's father had lost some donkeys, and Shaul's father sent him to go search for them, and he sent him along with some youth to accompany him, and they're walking, they're wandering around searching for the lost animals, and they're about to give up, and they're passing by the town where Shmuel lives, and Shaul says, "You know what? Let's just give up on these animals. Our father's forgotten about them. He's probably worried about us at this point. We should just go back." And the boy says to Shaul, "Well, hold on a minute. We're passing by the town here. There's a Navi in this town. Let's go ask him where the animals are." And there's a whole conversation between Shaul and Shmuel, between Shaul and the lad. Shaul says, "You know, we really, it's not appropriate that we go to him without some offering, something to offer to him for helping us." And the lad says, "Yo, we have a couple of coins." And they decide that it's a good idea to go ask Shmuel. And they go to Shmuel, and skipping out on some of the details, but basically before Shaul even has a chance to ask Shmuel about where the animals have gone and anything, Shmuel tells Shaul, "Don't worry about your animals. They've already been found. But I want you to come eat with me tonight." Right, that's the story there. And then Shmuel gives Shaul a whole prophecy of what's going to happen to him on his way home. And that's when he tells him this thing about that he's going, the verse that we saw in the Rambam earlier about Shaul is going to meet a group of Nevi'im and he'll be Nepach Le'ishach, and he'll become a different person. That's in that prophecy that he gives him. But the Rambam is pointing out that why was it the assumption of this boy who was with Shaul, and Shaul was perfectly amenable to the suggestion, that they should go ask the Navi to go ask him where you know, I'm missing some loose change. Where's my loose change? I can't find my car keys, right? Well, let's go ask the Navi. Why was it the suggestion of this boy that they should go ask the Prophet? Says the Rambam, that would not have been something that would have happened if that wasn't the normal thing to do, that you would go to the Prophet and you would ask him when about everything that was going on, any problem you had, anything you didn't know about, you go ask the Prophet. The Ein Safek Shehu Kein. This is certainly the case. Ki Hashem Amnam Hemid Lanu Nevi'im Chelef Hovrei Hashem HaMenach gave us prophets in the place of the Hovrei Hashemayim, the Kosmim HaMenachshim, those who divine information through improper, impure sources, the sorcerers, the necromancers, the people who use, you know, other ways of divining the future. Hashem gave us the prophets in place of them. In order that we ask them about everything that's going on with us, both the general and the specific. And they will tell us the correct information as it comes from God. Just like, or not just like, but even better than, those other people, the Menachashim and the Kosmim, who tell things that sometimes they're right and sometimes they're not. Hu ma marakasov, that's what the verse means when it says, ki hagoyim ha'ela asher ata yoresh osam, el me'onanim ve'el kosmim yishmal, those nations that you are chasing out of the land of Canaan when you come in, of Israel when you come in, they listen to the Ma'onanim and the Kosmim. They listen to the necromancers. They seek the dead. Va'ata lokein nasan lacha Hashem elokecha. But you, this is not what Hashem gave for you. Navi mi'kir b'cha me'achecha kamoni v'chule. A prophet like yourself, a prophet from amongst you who's like me, says Moshe Rabbeinu, who's going to be similar to me. That's who you will you'll set up for you. The Rambam's pointing out that just in the verses, in the way the Torah tells about establishing a prophet, contrasts it with, as opposed to what the other nations do. The other nations don't have the Kosmim who tell them, they're not instructing them the proper way to live their life and, you know, what God wants of them. They answer their questions about, you know, should I plant wheat or barley this year? So in contrast to that, what they do, they go and they consult the Kosmim and the Ma'onanim. That's not what you have. You should set up prophets. So the Rambam's pointing out, just the way the verse says it, sounds like the prophet for us is serving the role only in a much better way than what the Kosmim and the Ma'onanim do for the Ovdei Avodah Zarah. Ubiglal elu ha'inyanim hayukorim ha'navi roeh. And it's because of this that a Navi, a prophet, was originally called a roeh, was called a seer. That's what happens in that story over there, where the boy tells Shaul, we should go ask the, he says, he doesn't say we should go ask the Navi, he said we should go ask the Roeh. He's referring to Shmuel, the Navi. He says we should go ask the Roeh, and the Pasuk says, ki lifnim b'Yisrael hayukorim l'Navi Roeh, because they used to call a Navi a Roeh, and most of the Mefarshim there really explain it as more of in terms of just the custom of the language use, that it was customary to call a Navi a Roeh. That was just the normal usage of language. He says the reason that was, says the Rambam, is lefisha hu yira hadvarim ha'asidim lifnei hiyosam, because he sees the things that will be before they happen. He is a seer. He sees the asidos. Kemosha amar ki lanavi yikari lefanim haroeh. Right, that was the verse I was just quoting to you, because a Navi, they used to call him a Roeh. So the Rambam here is describing a very different role of Nevuah from what we described before. The role of the Navi is to tell people the answer to the questions of what's going on in their life. You have a problem in your life, you go to the Navi and you ask the Navi and you tell him. And the Mefarshim discussed in different places that this is really, somebody brought this up classes ago, this point that back when they had Nevuah, Nevuah was really a benefit for the Navi. He has his own personal achievement. But Nevuah also was a great benefit for the rest of the society who did not reach that Madrega. There were at least a society which was able to produce a Navi, and they benefit. They reaped the rewards of having a Navi among them. They had someone who could guide them of what to do in their life, whether it be in Ruchnius or in Gashmius, whether it be in what I should do in my spiritual life or even in my physical life. I lost something. I don't know what kind of investment to make. I don't know what the decisions the people are making in their everyday lives. They went to the prophet to seek out those decisions. That's what the Rambam is describing here in the Hakdama to the Mishnah. It's a very different role of prophecy than what we were describing before of the prophecy from the perspective of the prophet himself, of that relationship to God, of that closeness to God. And what I think is that prophecy really shows two things, two very distinct and central points in the role of Jewish thought. The first thing that we have is that which we were describing in the Ikrim, that which we were describing in the principles of faith, in the Hakdama to Zrayim, is that prophecy serves the role of showing that God, that man can connect to God, and you can have an ongoing relationship between man and God, which that facilitates or that allows this the communication of Ratzon Hashem. When we're talking about God's will, when we're talking about understanding what God wants, that's the connection to God, where you've come close to God and you understand, you have a certain understanding of God, that gives you the ability to understand Hashem, understand God's ideals and God's mission for the world and God's purpose. That's the role of Nevuah within the context of, can man have an understanding of what God wants from the world? Yes, man can get close enough to God that you can form a real relationship to God and you can understand Ratzon Hashem. And that was when we talked about in our last class, bridging the gap, that man in his lowly physical, as it forms a barrier between man and God, can you really understand spirituality? Can you really, you have that inherent disconnect between the physical and the spiritual. Can man really appreciate the spiritual? That's in essence beyond us. And that's the Iker Hashishi, that is the sixth principle of prophecy, is yes, man has the ability to rise above his physical restrictions, his physical limitations, and to connect to God, and thereby to understand spirituality, to understand Ratzon Hashem. And that is a necessary element for having a God directing our lives, both in terms of level one of just the Nevi'im that we have, Yeshaya and Yirmiyah and Yechezkel, who are giving direction for what does God want from me now? Right? How am I? What are we supposed to? What's the spiritual direction from God? That's facilitated. That's because a Navi can have that connection and can have a real appreciation and understanding, an accurate perspective of what does God want from me? What is Ratzon Hashem? And level two, obviously, being that the Torah itself, that God giving commandments, sivuyim, God giving ordinances, and what does God, how does God want me to do? What is the specifics that God wants me to do? The mitzvos and the averos, the to-dos and the not-to-dos, that you can have that a human being, and this is going to be part of what we're going to get into starting next week when we start talking about the seventh principle and the prophecy of Moshe, but that you can have a understand that is the role of prophecy in the Ikrim, in the principles of faith as constructed in the introduction to Perek Chelek. However, there's another role that prophecy plays, and that is that prophecy indicates that God knows what's going on in the world. If God can tell me where I left my car keys, and if God can tell me whether or not it is a good year to plant barley or wheat, or to invest in, you know, penny stocks or blue chips, right? So that God knows what's going on in the world. The denying prophecy, part of what I'm denying when I deny prophecy, which is what the Rambam is describing in Hilchos Tshuva, is when you deny it. When you deny prophecy, part of what you are denying is that God has has an ongoing, constant knowledge of what's going on in the world, right? And there are two aspects to that. There's, does God know what I'm doing? Is God familiar with whether I'm being good or bad, if I'm naughty or nice? Right? There's that, which is the second point that the Rambam makes over there, that God knows ma'aseh b'nei adam, that God knows the actions of man. But the first point that the Rambam makes over there is not that he knows what I'm doing, but he knows what's going on in the world. God, there is information that comes to man from God, means that God knows what's going on in the world. And as the Rambam describes in the Hakdama to the Mishnah that we just saw, that God is always, the difference between the Navi and the Kosim, the difference between our prophet and their necromancer or their sorcerer or whatever they have, is that God is always right. And God is always right because God has a complete awareness of what is going on in the world. God is absolutely in control and in direction of the world, and therefore God knows exactly what's happening in every aspect of what's going on in the world. And therefore, prophecy also has this other point, that prophecy displays, prophecy shows, demonstrates that God has an ongoing and intimate awareness of every detail of what is going on in the world. The smallest thing that could be going on in my life, I lost some sheep. Or today we don't really lose sheep so much. Today, if you lost your car keys, God knows where your car keys are. And if we would have prophets today, you would ask the Navi, would ask the prophet, and the prophet will tell you what happened to your car keys. And that shows that God has an absolute awareness of every detail of what's going on in the world. When the Rambam is describing the positive side of the Ikrim, when he's describing the what you do believe, the Rambam describes what we might call the heights of Nevuah. When I believe in Nevuah, as how far does that go? Is that I believe that man has the ability to connect to God in such a way that I can understand Ratzon Hashem, and that's where the Dveikus, the coming close to Hashem, and being allowed into that intimate relationship, that's where that's what enables man to have that insight into Ratzon Hashem, into Hashem's will, into what Hashem wants. That's the positive. If you deny Nevuah, that's what's being described in Hilchos Tshuva, is the negative construction of the Ikrim, is when he says a person who denies this is called a min, and a person who denies this is called an apikoros, and a person who denies this is called a kofer. So when the Rambam is constructing the negative list, so how far does the denial of Nevuah go? Well, the side effect of Nevuah, if you're denying Nevuah, you are, as a side effect of denying Nevuah, going so further to your, forget that this incredible novel point that man, that which is a novel point, that man can rise above his physicality and can connect to God, that's a chiddush. That's a novel point. That's something that has to be spoken out. When you accept Nevuah, you are going so far, you're accepting this incredible point. And the Rambam goes at length to explain how that could be, because it needs to be explained how it could be. When you deny Nevuah, you are going so far as denying even the smaller point. You're denying the side effect of what happens, is that God can tell people what's going on in the world. If you deny Nevuah, a side effect, a logical outgrowth of that, is that you are denying that God has the ability to tell us what's going on in the world. You are denying an element of God's hashgacha, an element of God's control over the world, an element of that which God is overlooking and intimately aware of what's going on in the world. God's knowledge of what is happening in the world if you deny the existence of prophecy, then you are denying an element of God's control of the world, that which God knows what's going on in the world. And therefore, we have our two separate lists with their two separate focuses. Our list, as we'll call it, the list of Perek Chelek, is the list which is part of the communication of Ratzon Hashem. It's part of the structure of that we have a mitzvah from Hashem. We have the Torah and its authenticity. Part of that list is the fact that we can understand Ratzon Hashem, that we can have an insight into God's will. And that is where the Rambam describes the nature of the Navi, the prophet who reaches this madrega, this level of personal accomplishment where he's able to connect to Hashem. That's the list that we have in Perek Chelek. In Hilchos Tshuva, we have the other half of the list. There, the Rambam is describing as insight, the awareness of God's awareness of what's going on in the world, that God knows what is going on in every aspect of the world. That's where the Rambam puts Nevuah as part of the list of Hashgacha, and that's where the Rambam describes Nevuah as Yesh Sheim Mada, that there is information, there is knowledge which comes from God to the world. The Rambam describes Nevuah as being that aspect of Nevuah which we previously described, the Ramchal describes as the side effect of Nevuah, because that's part of the list. That's when the Rambam is listing Nevuah in terms of how denying Nevuah, how far does that go? Goes so far that you're denying the Hashgacha, the knowledge that God has, the insight and the involvement that God has in the world. You're denying that, and that's denying that as you're denying the information that God has about what's going on in the world. And therefore we have the dual nature of prophecy, that prophecy on the one hand has the and is what enables a relationship to Hashem in which we can understand and grasp and have a revelation of Ratzon Hashem, of understanding to the degree that it's possible for us, understanding God and His will and spirituality. And on the other hand, we have the revelation through prophecy that God is has an ongoing awareness and relationship with the world, and He knows everything that is going on in our lives. Next week, we are going to begin the seventh principle, the principle of the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu. I don't have it here to show you. I can bring it maybe next week. But the first six Ikrim are about the same length as the seventh Ikr. The Rambam goes at great length to explain the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu, and he in the middle of it, he says that he's being incredibly brief about it. He actually tells you if he wanted to do it, to do it betachlis hakitzer, if I were to do it with the most brevity possible, it would take me at least 100 pages. Right? So we're going to see, we're going to try and next week start the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu, and to coming off of this point, we already have Nevuah, the qualitative difference in the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu, and to try and understand the significance of that in the structure of the existence of Torah. So we'll be doing that next week. 2 weeks from now, just to give everyone a heads up, 2 weeks from now, there is going to be one of our Jewish ethics lectures. Rabbi Grossman is going to be giving during this time at 9:30, two Sundays from now, May 3rd, is going to be lecturing on the topic of the procedure of civil procedure and the modern Beis Din, the way that how does practically Beis Din function today. This is somewhat of a conclusion to the topic that the Knight Kollel has been learning, the Rabbi Grossman's Choshen Mishpat Kollel, Money Matters, has been learning, but it's going to be, you don't have to have attended to appreciate that, but it's going to be open to the community at 9:30, 2 weeks from now. Well, thank you everyone for coming. I...